Итак, прежде чем мы начнем вновь исследовать,
we will continue to study our inheritance in Jesus Christ that he has written in Scripture. The unchanging epigraph to the study of the Word of God is Luke 24:44. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And for us as partakers of the body of Christ, to share with Christ the fulfillment of all that is written about him in Scripture, we shall continue our study of our collaboration with the Holy Spirit, what we need to do, or what is to be done from our side, that we receive the right to the power to put off our former way of life, so we put on the new way or form of life. Ephesians 4:22-24. That you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And to fulfill this command, we need to use three, as we know now, required and fundamental verbs, and these are to put off, be renewed, and put on. And your decision regarding these three destiny-affecting questions will depend on whether you transform yourself into a vessel of mercy or a vessel of wrath, or more specifically, will the completion of our salvation happen? That is the guaranteed that we are given, or will we lose it, although, and our names be blotted out of the book of life, although they may have been once written there. In a particular format, we already looked at the first two questions and have been studying the question, what conditions are to be fulfilled that by the means of an already renewed mind, we begin the process of dressing ourselves into the power of our new person that is created in accordance to God in Christ Jesus in righteousness and holy truth. When it's talking about holy truth, because sometimes truth is presented out of the boundaries of holiness, it is washed out as a person thinks or as a person's opinion is in regards to the truth is how they present it. But this is a person that is in accordance to righteousness and holy truth. Linked to clothing ourselves into our new person, we came to the necessity and the conclusion that we need God's help, that is, we need his mercy. The means of receiving any kind of help from God, in this case mercy, is prayer and worship, since prayer is the right that a man gives heaven to intervene on earth, so that God can intervene on earth and into the need of man and the life of a man, and we are called to give God this right upon his conditions or his established conditions. One of these is the prayer of David, written in the 143rd Psalm, where God, he gives God that right to interlope or interject into his life, the mercy that continued in his heart within the rightful boundaries of the field of truth. Psalm 143 and lower. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications, in your faithfulness answer me, and in your righteousness do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me to dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the works of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. Deliver me, O Lord, from my enemies. In you I take shelter. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. Revive me, O Lord, for your name's sake, for your righteousness' sake. Bring my soul out of trouble. In your mercy, cut off my enemies and destroy all those who afflict my soul, for I am your servant. Therefore, to be heard by God, David needed to present to God a basis, a cause, or a particular right that would be able to serve as sufficient evidence before God. And such evidence in this particular prayer were 10 arguments that David presented to God, saying, "Hear me. Hear me for the sake of your faithfulness and your righteousness. Hear me and hear my prayer, because I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. Hear my prayer because I spread out my hands to you. Hear my prayer for in you do I trust. Hear my prayer because I lift up my soul to you. Hear my prayer because in you I take shelter. Hear my prayer for you are my God. Hear my prayer for your name's sake. Hear my prayer for your righteousness' sake, and hear my prayer for I am your servant." In the previous services, we had already studied the nature of the first argument that gave God the lawful right to stand on the side of David in his opposition against his enemies, and stopped to study the second argument. This is evidence of the fact that David abides in the memories of the days of old and all the deeds that God had done in those days. This is a fairly important part of faithfulness and righteousness in which David continued and what he presented to God in prayer. As an argument, this was his thummim. This is what was written upon his heart. And that was his argument. Hear me, because I remember the days of old and all your works done by you in those days. It is useless to call to God if we don't have such a thummim, if we don't have these forms of evidence. Therefore, to keep within your heart the memories of the olden days and all the works of God that God had done in those days, this in essence is to keep in your heart faithfulness and righteousness, to keep this thummim that testify before God of the results of the great work of redemption, giving God the ability to reveal within our heart the multitude of his mercies. Every time when God reveals something, he reveals it in the thummim. It's already there, but when we already have it, then his Urim comes if we already have it. In other words, to be heard by God, it is necessary to keep within your mind the works of God that he had done in the days of old. For this reason, we came to the necessity to study a series of such questions: who or what, in its essence, is the remembrance of the works of God that were done in the days of old within our heart? What purpose is the remembrance of God called to fulfill regarding his works that he had done in the days of old? What price is necessary to be paid to have these remembrance of the works of God? And what results follow from having in yourself the remembrance of the works of God done in the days of old? Studying the first question, what by itself is memory, in its essence as well as its definition, we came to the conclusion that memory is a safe of information or a treasury of image information that has been recorded or received from the real or the physical world, from the realm of the spiritual world, and the inherited genetic line received by us from the life of our fathers. Any information that we receive, it is written, we are as a program, and this information is written into us upon our cells. Every one of our cells is an absolute independent program. Although we have billions of them, each one copies what's in the other. If you can imagine what powerful program system a person is. In essence, a person is greater than all of the carriers of information today, any kind of devices or any kind of creation, because they have some kind of boundary, they have some kind of limit. But the human mind does not have a limit. That I mean, what's in the cells, not what is in the physical brain. What is in going inside into that memory is an eternal memory. God himself can fit there and with all of his information and with all of his promises. Based on the words of Scripture, specifically the memory of a person identifies the essence of this person as well as his sovereign boundaries. For as he thinks in his heart, so is he, Proverbs 23:7. And so specifically what will be placed into our genetical memory, into our cells, into our heart, that is who we will be. We will transform into what we have. Considering that memory is information contained in the form of thoughts, we keep upon the tablets of our heart and thereafter proclaim before God his works done by him in the days of old. We transform into the image of our thinking, identifying the works of God done by him in the days of old. And this identifies, again, the works of God in our heart. We transform into these works of God. From our side, this is the right that we give God for the entry of his mercies into our life. As it is written, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple, John 2:7. If Jonah did not have within his mind, deep in his mind, in the depths of his mind, the thummim, knowing who God is for him and what he has done for him, and when he had ended up in the belly of the whale, and his spirit left his body, and he had submerged into hell. This person was in hell because he somehow neglected God's commandment and did not want to walk and speak of God's mercy. And God commanded this whale to swallow him, and he did. And there he remembered the Lord. He had this written in himself. I understand some people listen to me now say, well, even if I end up in hell, I'll remember about the Lord then. But unfortunately, there you won't. This was a prophet of God. This was an anointed man of God who continued in the Word of God. He did not commit sin. That is why he was able to remember God's works. Christ said about him, there are not many signs except for the sign of Jonah, as he was in the belly of a whale 3 days and 3 nights. The Son of Man will also be in the heart of the earth 3 days and 3 nights. He said, as Jonah had resurrected, and everyone knew about this, because all knew that Jonah was swallowed by a whale. A lot of people saw this on the ship. As soon as the storm became quiet, this storm happened because Jonah was running from the face of God to Tarsus. He was supposed to be speaking of the mercy of God if they don't repent, that in 40 days they would perish, is what he was supposed to be doing. And so these people became afraid. They began to offer sacrifices to God. And suddenly this person returns. The whale spits him out, throws him out of his stomach, and his spirit returns to him. And of course, a person who was in hell and returned again. Of course, this was a great sign for all of them. They had a prophet that resurrected. He died and resurrected. And the entire place there repented. The king announced a fast in that place for all animals and all people. Animals were not given food or drink, if you can imagine, 3 days without food, children and animals. People then had a lot of animals, a lot of cows, a lot of different kinds of animals, horses, and they all were probably crying and moaning and they were hungry. And Jonah sat down and watched. He was preaching to them if they don't repent. He didn't believe in their repentance. He came to see how God will punish them. And the time passes and God does not punish them. And he commanded his delegated person, the tree planted, he planted the tree and it grew up really quickly. It was a sign. And then God trimmed that tree and he began to get hot again, really hot. It was really hot at the time, and he wanted to die, and he asked God for if he can die. And God told him, imagine, you did not water this tree or wait for it to grow up. How do you think I feel when I have over 100,000 people who can't tell the difference between their right hand and their left? They're as children. And what about the animals? The animals were suffering. How will I not feel bad about this? If you feel bad about this one tree, I wanted to show that he had in himself this information, and he brought him to peace eventually. And God returned him back. We will remember that due to our abilities that God has placed into us, in the moment of our creation, we are unable to keep within our heart the memory of the works of God done by him in the days of old, and at the same time look upon the works of men. Therefore, keeping within our heart the memorial of the works of God done by him in the days of old, we blot out of ourselves the memory of the works of men, as well as the information that has been passed down to us from the sinful life of our parents. And the opposite effect, when we focus our eyes and our thoughts upon the works of men, we blot out the memory of the works of God within our heart, and in this way deprive ourselves of the right to eternal life, and ourselves condemn ourselves to perish in the lake of fire. To keep within your heart the memory of the works of God done by him in the days of old is the choice, role, and responsibility of man. The memory of a person by itself in Scripture is shown as the strength and weapon of a man, and if you take this memory from him, he will appear as a destroyed city. O enemy, destructions are finished forever, and you have destroyed cities, even their memory has perished. Psalm 9:6. Remembrance of the works of God is in the heart of a person is the inheritance of Christ. We mean a person of God and not just any person, but a person who is born from God is the inheritance of Christ, and this inheritance is passed down exclusively from one righteous generation to another righteous generation, from a father to a son. But you, O Lord, shall endure forever, and the remembrance of your name to all generations. Psalm 102:12. The remembrance of the works of God sealed upon the heart of a person is the holiness of God and the component of his unfading glory. When God sees what is written in us, his word, this is his holiness and his unfading glory. Sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his. Psalm 30:4. We cannot glorify or praise God or praise the remembrance of God that is not within our heart. If we don't have it, then there's nothing to praise. There's nothing to thank him for. Based upon the many sentences in Scripture, all of the miracles and works of God that were done by him in the days of old can be remembered or memorable in our heart if they are written upon the tablets of our heart as a revelation of who God is for us and what he has done for us. This is the great holiness of God. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Psalm 111:4. There are very little people, even Christian people, who remember the works of God in their heart. The world doesn't remember any of it because they don't know it. They don't even believe in it. When I was in Israel, many Jews were telling me stories as if rumored stories. They don't believe that something actually happened. The biblical stories, they see this as, these were some kind of myths. There exists this kind of myth, I told them this is not a myth, this is reality. And when I began to tell them this is reality, they said, what are you saying? Don't say this. Look, I have shivers on my skin when you speak these things. Do you understand what will happen to us if what you're saying... They told us this is a myth, because they don't have this memory within themselves. If they would have this memory, then they would live very differently when they gather there. But they live with their myths. Studying the second question, what purpose is the remembrance of the works of God done in the days of old, written upon the tablets of our heart, called to fulfill in the relationship of God with his redeemed person? We in a particular format have already looked at three components that serve as a memorial before God and stopped to study the fourth component. And this is the breastplate of judgment that was upon the chest of the high priest. In its definition, in its importance, it was different than the other items that God remembered, because it was a continual memory before God, a continual memorial. It was the only item that was of this kind. The rest were, he remembered them, but they were not a continual memorial. And God remembered Noah, and God remembered Abraham, and led out the nation of Israel. This was not a continual memorial or memory before God, because these things were promises that were to be fulfilled at a specific time. And so God did not need to think about them continually. He needed to remember about them when the time would come that he had appointed. You will be in bondage, you will be, and after 400 years I will lead you out, and that's it. God did not need to continually remember that, because as soon as he said that word, after 400 years, he will then remember. But here, it's talking about continual memorial or remembrance. This is very important for us. And so the materials, means, measurements, and building of the breastplate of judgment, we can receive it only in one way, and that is by the instructions of faith, and we have received it as much as God has allowed or given us the ability to. But to make and place it upon our heart, this breastplate, is our holy role and our responsibility. Therefore, the breastplate of judgment, as an item of continual remembrance or a continuing memorial before God, is a symbol of the format of continual prayer. Prayer that is not in accordance to the requirements and characteristics of the breastplate of judgment does not have the right to be called prayer. Only the format of continuous prayer gives us the right to enter into the holy place. It's not just God has remembered, but God continues to remember, gives us the right to enter into the holy place as a king and a priest of God. That is called to present. We are called to present the interests of the judgments of God in accordance to those commandments and statutes that identify the union of teaching of Jesus Christ that came in the flesh and the 12 precious stones and the 12 names of the sons of Jacob written upon these stones. We mean the 12 stones of the breastplate of judgment. They're the 12 stones of the precious foundations, the 12 pearly gates. There's the 12 oxen that were also that held the bronze bath, and there are 12 months that of the tree of life bearing fruit each of the months and for 12 months. But here there is a breastplate of judgment, as we know. And by this breastplate of judgment, we're able to understand all these details. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Colossians 4:2. Continuity in prayer is connected to vigilance that is presented in the status and a destiny-affecting commandment, identifying the state and atmosphere of our burning lamp. The lamp needs to continually burn. If the lamp dies, that means a person spiritually has died for God, and to bring him to life will be impossible. If the lamp has completely died, the spirit of a person dies, then that's it. He will not be able to be revived again spiritually with repentance. We know when Israel fell into sin, but the scriptures say the lamp of the Lord continued to burn in the temple, and they did not die to God because the lamp continued to burn and God continued to do his work because of that lamp. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man, Luke 21:36. Because continuity in prayer is linked to vigilance and it identifies the state and atmosphere of a burning lamp. The building of the breastplate of judgment has a particular order, what, when, and how you need to do what, to be within the requirements of a worshiper that God seeks. Breaking the order and the building of the order, the breastplate of judgment, identifying the state and nature of the worshiper, will not be able to be called the breastplate of judgment, or will lose that name of a breastplate of judgment. John 4:23-24, but the hour is coming, and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father That means that there are many worshippers that were not true worshippers. They considered themselves worshippers, but God did not accept them as his worshippers. And so here it says, when the true worshippers, but the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. To worship the Father in spirit and in truth, it is necessary not to peddle with the truth in your attempt to reach goals that are placed by God. When God places goals, and we see that we need to pay a price for that, for being able to reach that goal, we break, when we peddle with the word, we break the word of God and say, well, we could drink just a little bit, there's nothing wrong, and sin in these ways, a little bit, legalizing them, then we peddle with the word. Exodus 20:15-16. Here we will see the state of a true worshiper. You shall make the breastplate of judgment artistically woven according to the workmanship of the ephod. You shall make it of gold, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine woven linen you shall make it. It shall be doubled into a square, a span shall be its length, and a span shall be its width. We note that in the Septuagint, Septuagint is the translation from the Greek translation from the Hebrew Bible. This is the name that given from the Greek language. The breastplate of judgment is called the sign of justice. The symbol of the breastplate of judgment is revealed as the conscience of a man, purified from dead works, upon the tablets of which, just as a sign it, the teaching of Jesus Christ that came in the flesh. And when God's judgment starts, it starts from your conscience. And so all the information goes into your conscience, and your conscience then judges you in accordance to the information there. The conscience are those tablets within our heart where all that we are receiving is written. If we are receiving the truth unfaithfully, then we have unfaithful measures. And when we write this to our heart, we will be inaccurately judged by our conscience. If you tell someone you can't eat meat, it's a sin, and he takes this in and writes this in himself, he won't eat the meat, and if he does, his conscience will judge him, although it isn't a sin, but that's what he's put into himself. Or if you don't dress in a certain way, you won't be saved, or other information that's inaccurate, but they receive it as the truth. And they don't even check that the things they are taught are inaccurate, not in accordance to Scripture. And when they break the laws of men, not the laws of God, but men, the conscience judges them. The conscience judges you by what you receive into it, right or wrong. A conscience that is purified of dead works with the writing of faithfulness and righteousness upon its tablets will identify the nature of a true worshiper that will give God the right to act in them and through them upon planet Earth. And it is these kind of worshipers that the Heavenly Father seeks for himself. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. John 4:24-23. Ignorance in knowing the truth that is contained in the teaching of Jesus Christ that came in the flesh will not allow a person to worship in his conscience of his spirit that is not cleansed from dead works. If there is no teaching of Jesus Christ, his elementary teaching, but some kind of other laws, some kind of pseudo-religious teachings, the brothers have required, or the brothers have implemented another requirement. I remember being a young man, and when they present some kind of new idea saying the brothers have implemented a new requirement or law, I always ask the question, how do I understand this? How can the brothers place a law when God has already placed his laws? How can you say the brothers have made this requirement? And when people say, pastor has made this requirement, I don't require anything. I require only what God requires, what God has written. I fear God to say that I am the one who has implemented a law or have decided this. I say it is written, and we'll do it as it's written. And so when people say such things, and I asked the question, and all became confused, I asked the pastor, so these words written here, are they God-inspired? He said, no. If no, then why are we reading it? Why are we spending time on it? And why do we need to fulfill it? I once told you this a story. There was a law that they had passed in the church. It was in Kyiv at the time. He had, in the week we will pray, today we'll pray for healing, tomorrow we'll pray for the leaders, the next day we'll pray for gifts of the Holy Spirit, and every day he had made requirements like these. And these brothers began to fulfill it. And when the brothers gathered and they asked them, do you agree with this? The deacon said, well, I don't agree. I'm not going to be praying for my leader, Brezhnev at the time, who was the president. And so I asked them, will you pray for these other leaders? It was another leader that was pretty much of a group, a Christian religious group leaders, and I asked, will you be praying for them as well? They together had also taken part in removing the communist regime, and they were very proud of him. And I asked them, the Hitler's team, were they also part of what you support? Because what these men did are the same thing as Hitler was doing, and you and we're supposed to be a body of Christ, not doing all of these things and playing in these games. If it's not God-inspired, you don't need to fulfill it. If they're interpreting the word, that's very different. Or you say, I will be praying every day. I'm not going to be separating into different day. I pray about all these things every day, not excluding someone specifically or something specifically. And so we stopped to study the next requirement in building the breastplate of judgment that says, you shall put settings of stone into it, four rows of stones. Sardius, topaz, emerald is the first row. Second is turquoise, sapphire, and diamond. Third row, jacinth, agate, and amethyst. And fourth is beryl, onyx, and jasper. They shall be set in gold settings. And the stone shall have the names of the sons of Israel, 12 according to their names, like the engraving of a sign. Each one will, with its own name, they shall be according to the 12 tribes. Exodus 20:17-21. And all of these are symbols, and in these symbols we need to see these 12 principles, qualities that a worshiper is to have. The precious stones needed to be mounted into the golden filigree settings. Therefore, it was necessary, just as the shoulder pieces on the ephod that we had studied previously, to prepare and place 12 golden filigree settings into the breastplate of judgment in four rows, three settings per row. Therefore, the 12 golden filigree settings is a symbol of God's judgment in the teaching of Jesus Christ that came in the flesh. This is the pure word of God. And now we need to fix ourselves to be in accordance to that, because gold is the pure word of God, written upon the tablets of our heart, that we as worshippers are called to present in our continual prayer. The 12 precious stones, with their engraved upon them as a sign at names of the sons of Israel, is an image and format of our continual prayer, presenting the perfect judgment of God. And it needs to be in accordance to the word of God at all times. Don't speak too much or too many or extra things. That doesn't mean don't pray. Prayer allows God to take part in the things of the earth, but do not speak from yourself. Speak as it is written. Speak in accordance to the word of God. Speak as it is written. Upon practice, continual prayer, presenting the perfect judgments of God, is called to happen by confessing with our mouth the faith of our heart. This is faith, and a person needs to confess that faith. And faith comes from the word of God, from hearing that word of God. The layout of the precious stones upon the breastplate of judgment in four rows, three per row, are well reflected in the 12 foundations of the wall of the New Jerusalem, as well as the layout of the 12 pearly gates, three on each side of the New Jerusalem. But with one main difference, upon the breastplate of judgment upon the 12 precious stones, the 12 sons of Jacob are carved in a different format than the 12 foundations of the New Jerusalem and the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. And so they are in a different category, in a different format. Are they written? Therefore, the breastplate of judgment, with its 12 precious stones, carry in itself a different function, a different purpose, and a different consistency than the 12 foundations and the 12 gates of the New Jerusalem. For example, the 12 precious foundations of the wall of the New Jerusalem were called to serve as the principal foundation of our salvation, and the functions of which are called to lead us to perfection, a perfection that is in the likeness of our Heavenly Father. Songs of Solomon 8:10. I am a wall and my breast like towers. Then I will become in his eyes as one who has found peace. Songs of Solomon 8:10. Symbolically, in Scripture, a wall is a symbol of the perfection of Christ. And so if a person has not fully been grown to full measure in Christ, he can eat the Word of God and be nourished by it, but he is not able to conceive the Word of God, be conceived by it, receive the seeds of God's promises. He just eats it and grows. I am a wall. And before this is written, we have a sister and she does not have breasts. What will we do when they ask for her? And then this other one responds, she says, I am ready for this. I am a wall. I am perfect. This is an allegory. This is an example to show. The 12 gates of the New Jerusalem, each one with the quality of a wholesome pearl, presenting the image or symbolizing a living sacrifice, are called to serve as testimony that we continue within the trials of Christ, and the functions of which are called to be the key opening access to the tree of life, identifying in our heart the kingdom of heaven. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials, and I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed upon me. Luke 22:28-29. And so if we pray, for example, as worshipers, we are not remaining in the trials of Christ, then we are not worshipers. A worshiper needs to continue in the trials of Christ. And when a worshiper continues in the trials of Christ, then he has the keys. He, with his prayer, opens up, he takes these keys and opens access into the kingdom of heaven. The 12 precious stones upon the breastplate of judgment are called to present us as worshipers of God, abiding in continual prayer, serving as an eternal memorial or remembrance before God. Upon practice, continual prayer, pouring out of the heart of a man, is called to present the interests of not the human will and not the lies of man, but the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God, of course, includes our healing and our prosperity as well. But when the holy person is presenting them, he's not presenting them, or the priest of God is not presenting these needs as his own will, but the will of God. There is a difference. When I come to God and I say, Lord, heal me, I'm hurting. In your word it's written. But when I come to God and say, Heavenly Father, you gave your Son, your one and only Son, to heal your nation, your people. This was your will. And you had fulfilled this. And you had placed it into Jesus Christ. I am here to remove or take from this for myself. I want your will to be fulfilled. I know that your heart is filled with this. I know this is something you want and you love to heal. This is a very different thing, because a person sometimes has that God doesn't want to heal me. God wants to always, but we need to come to him upon his conditions, based upon his word, not our own will or desires. If someone filled out their citizenship ever, if you can imagine that you take a napkin that you wipe your face with, you would write out that you're a citizen. There's an actual form, a specific paper that they give you that you need to write it down and use. And so we need a conscience purified from dead works. This is God's royal form that we need to write upon and present to him. I am a citizen of heaven. I am your son. Our Father in heaven, we come to him saying he's our Father, who I am and who he is. You send the letter. Who are you sending it to? Who is he for you? If he is your father, then show evidence of the fact that he's your father. And so continual prayer is an expression of our hope or reliance upon God, that upon the tablets of our heart are the 12 precious stones, with the carved upon them 12 names of the patriarchs, and mounted into the golden filigree settings of the breastplate of judgment. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, Hebrews 10:35. Do not cast away what you are confident in, what you already have. The 12 precious stones upon the breastplate of judgment applies to our continual prayer. It's testimony of our hope upon God that gives us the ability to know and abide in the principal teachings of Christ that came in the flesh. The precious stones of the breastplate of judgment upon the tablets of our heart, mounted into the golden filigree settings, testify of our dignity and our rights before God. The names of the sons of Israel carved upon the 12 precious stones of the breastplate of judgment are called to demonstrate our quality and function before God. The quality and function is identified by continual prayer that serves as a continual reminder before God. This gives him the right to continue to work and function upon planet Earth. The 12 precious stones upon the breastplate of judgment demonstrate specific names of God with the 12 names of the sons of Jacob. That demonstrate the quality and function that a worshiper of God is called to have or possess. And so you need to collaborate with these 12 precious stones that have the characteristics of God, and when you collaborate with them, you become just as precious as they are. Matthew 16:18-19. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. In the original it says Petra, which is a female name. A living stone, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys, not one key, but keys of the kingdom of heaven, the 12 pearly gates. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. In other words, who you forgive sins, they will be forgiven, and those that you retain will be retained. The keys of the kingdom of heaven, allowing us to bind on earth that what God already had bound in heaven, these are the 12 principles that continual prayer is supposed to have, contained in the symbol of the 12 precious stones of the breastplate of judgment. Therefore, the breastplate of judgment is an item. When we talk about this, we know this breastplate is an item that is a continual memorial before God. It identifies a true worshiper in the rank of royal priesthood and serves as an example of worshiping in spirit and in truth. There may be some fixes that will be made with time as we go through them. For example, Jasper, the name of God, El-Hai. By the words of the rabbinate, it actually, when I look in scripture, it actually is the name Bereshit, which is a little bit of a different word. This is a light as a foundation of Jerusalem, like Jasper, and so forth. Bereshit, which Jasper is the name of God, Bereshit, which is Genesis, or the first words, or the beginning word. And so the building or preparation of the breastplate of judgment contains the same order that the 12 precious foundations of the wall of the New Jerusalem, as well as the order of the 12 pearly gates, have. However, they have a different function and different purpose. And before we continue to study within ourselves the 12 qualities of a worshiper, allowing us to worship in spirit and in truth, we need to note once more that just as all of the beauty and order of the temple was built for one holy item and served the one and only item, this being the golden ark of the covenant, just the same as the ephod of the high priest, with the connected to its breastplate of judgment, was created for and served only one holy item. That very accurately was called to duplicate and fulfill the function of the golden ark. This was the Urim and Thummim. The golden ark, as well as the breastplate of judgment, symbolically represented the conscience of a man that is cleansed from dead works. The Urim and Thummim is light and perfection, light and the right, or revelation and truth. The Ten Commandments that were placed inside the Ark of the Covenant was truth, and this truth is in the Thummim, upon the breastplate of judgment. The 12 commandments, they were also the Thummim, because this was the truth. The revelation that a person is able to receive at the mercy seat, or the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, is the Thummim. upon the breastplate of judgment. Only a person that contains a conscience that is cleansed from dead works, or a wise heart upon the tablets of whom the truth is written, can be a worshiper of God. This is the Thummim. It is very dangerous when the conscience is cleansed from dead works, but nothing else is written there. Many Christians don't understand how to write it. They sanctify themselves, they cleanse themselves, but they can't write anything there. And when the conscience is cleansed from dead works, Jesus shows a parable about this conscience. When your house is cleansed, cleaned out, the devil has been driven out of there, and the house is clean, swept, and empty, and there's no owner. And so he is out, and he suffers the spirit, and he comes back, he sees it's empty, and goes and takes seven more evil than himself, and enters in there and lives there. And then for this person, the result is worse than how he was initially. And so after the sanctification, something terrible begins to happen in such churches that have false sanctification. Such miracles and signs begin to happen, and they're all suddenly in their teeth, treasures appear between their teeth or other strange things. They find money somewhere, or people are just fascinated by this, and oh, what is God doing? Or they start to suddenly give birth after an incident in the church, or just different kinds of various strange things happen. We need to have a goal when we sanctify ourselves, so that we write something in there that we be the owner, the master of that place. And so the revelation of God, that being the Urim, is able to be within the boundaries of the truth in the form of the Thummim, that is the teaching of Jesus Christ that came in the flesh. I will put wisdom in the hearts of all the gifted artisans, that they make all that I have commanded you, Exodus 31:6. In the heart of every gifted artisan, the one that has Thummim in his heart, the knowledge of the commandments of God, that tell him what and how to do what. And if someone doesn't know, then it's unfortunate for this person that he doesn't know. In a particular format, we have already studied the first four qualities of a worshiper in the virtue of four precious stones, the ruby, topaz, emerald, and carbuncle. They had upon them carved like a sign at the names of Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah. By them, God was able to continually reveal his interests upon planet Earth and for us. Therefore, we will immediately turn to the fifth quality of a worshiper, revealed upon the breastplate of judgment of our heart in the virtue of the precious stone sapphire. The fifth quality of a worshiper upon the breastplate of our heart, which is a continual memorial before God and the item by which God is able to continually reveal himself upon planet Earth, we see in the virtue of the precious stone sapphire. And the name carved upon the fifth precious stone sapphire of the breastplate of judgment is in the second row from the bottom is the name of Dan, the fifth son of Jacob, whose name means the Lord has judged. Genesis 36, then Rachel said, God has judged my case. And he has also heard my voice and given me a son. Therefore she called his name Dan. Blessing his children before death, Jacob spoke of the qualities that are in Dan to judge his nation. Also prophetically revealed that specifically in the qualities of Dan to judge his nation, the man of sin and son of destruction would be revealed. Dan shall judge his people as one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path, that bites the horse's heel so that its rider shall fall backward. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. Genesis 49:16-18. And so Jacob said, I do trust you will still save the remnant of Dan, although Antichrist will come from his line. He'll come from those places that are called godly because he wants God's throne. And he's already in that place because the temple of God is the church of Jesus Christ. But when there is a mixture of things that are men's of man and God, when there's this Babylon, this is the atmosphere in which he will be. And so that points to the fact that the man of sin and son of destruction, whose time to be revealed is soon, to imitate the quality of the sapphire stone, he will present himself in his decisions and his judgments as a worshiper of God, although he really will not be one. And of course, before the son of destruction, who will resist and place himself above all, calling himself God or calling himself holy, sits in the temple of God as God and presents himself as God. Many of the called to salvation will proceed to him. These will be those who refuse to die for their nation, for their house, who has died for their nation, for their house, and for their fleshly life, to be in the category of the small flock of the chosen. And so this large category will have the look of godliness, but will deny its power, because in order to have such power of godliness, it is necessary to have paid the price of your nation, your house, and your life. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3-12, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. The day of the Lord is when he will come down to reign here for 1,000 years on this earth. And so let no one deceive you. The 1,000-year reign shall not come until he comes first, the Antichrist, the man of sin is revealed, who presents himself as God. Do not remember again that when I was still with you, I told you these things, and now you know that it's what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. This lawlessness is already in the works, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do it until he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. This is the beast that comes from the earth, that will do great miracles and signs, and he will show the Antichrist. He will and with all unrighteous deception among those who perished, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And so they did not receive the love and truth. And so God will allow this to happen, that they will believe in those delusions, and they will be condemned because they desired sin. Why did they believe in this, in the lie? Because they loved it. The precious stone sapphire upon which, just as a sign, it would see the carved name of Dan, is truly a royal stone. Traditionally, they decorated the king's crown with these stones. The most famous or popular sapphire is the one of St. Edward's crown, used to crown the British monarch. When I was in London, I had the ability to come in to that palace where the queen lives. She was absent for a month, and when she's absent, the tourists can come in and see how the queen lives, and the crown stands there, lays there. So you can see it, and there's a large sapphire upon it. The sapphire decorated the top of the British crown in the very heart of the cross. During the power of the Russian Empire, we also see the sapphire stone that weighs 200 carats, and another sapphire stone that is 2 times larger on the brooch of the Indian Maharaj. At all times, decorating with sapphires meant special or high value or importance. According to searchers, the royal minerals was considered a symbol of hope, faithfulness, purity, and appropriateness. The sapphire, for a long time, was one of the most most expensive precious stones and only gave way to diamonds in regards to value. The stone of the color of heaven was considered, as it were, an incarnation of peacefulness, gazing, and calmness. The mystery of the precious sapphire that was fitting to the requirements of the measurements of the gold filigree settings upon the breastplate of judgment of the high priest and mounted into it to present the power of Dan, this is the ability to judge your nation long before the law of Moses it was revealed in the oldest, most ancient, and holy book of Job. Job 28:3-8, man puts an end to darkness and searches every recess for ore in the darkness of the shadow of death. He breaks open a shaft away from people in places forgotten by feet. They hang far away from men. They swing to and fro. And for the earth from it comes bread, but underneath it is turned up as by fire. Its stones are the source of sapphires, and it contains gold dust. That path no bird knows, nor has the falcon eye seen it. The proud lions have not trodden it, nor has the fierce lion passed over it. In the given allegory, we see the place and atmosphere in which a sapphire is born or formed. The path is not known by any bird, and a falcon's eye has not seen it. The proud lion has not walked upon it, nor has a fierce lion passed over it. Looking at this place of scripture, we can see that in order to be dressed into the quality of the precious sapphire that would present the virtues of Dan to judge his nation, it is necessary to seek God and collaborate with God in the truth of the blood of the cross of Christ in the boundaries of the Thummim. And for this, it is necessary for us to undig a flowing well and submerge into darkness of the shadow of death. This is talking about the cross and the death of Christ, representing the death of Christ in the teaching of baptism, to die for your nation, for your house, and for your corrupt desires. If you remember, we studied the wells in the Ark of Noah. If you remember, he had clean and unclean animals. But here we see here enemies as well that are present. And so to undig this flowing well, submerge yourself into death, to die for your nation, for your house, and for your corrupt desires. Exodus 24:1-9-10. All the precious stones, if anyone has ever seen the earth and how they cut the earth and they find these precious stones. And so there's a lot of pressure and it's at a very high temperature. They'll find these minerals, and under pressure, these minerals are created. And these precious stones, and they're pushed out from the earth to the surface, and they find them closer to where volcanoes are. And when they're pushed out, then this is already a living mineral. It grows and it's nourished from the earth. It takes minerals and it grows. It has a crystallized structure. It's unlike other minerals. There's so many minerals that there's no number to how many different variations of minerals there are. God breathed his life into minerals, and the entire earth is full of minerals. And there are millions and millions of them. And out of the millions, only 50 of those minerals are precious stones. Only 50. This talks about the fact that the 50th year or the Pentecost year, that's where a person becomes precious, collaborating with the Holy Spirit. After the time God gave the law to Moses upon Mount Zion, now he said to Moses, "Come up to the Lord, you and your and Aaron, Nabad, and Abinu, and 70 of the elders of Israel upon Mount Sinai to worship from afar. And they saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stones, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity." In the given moment, underfoot of sapphires presented the natural character of God and the holiness of God shown in the calling of Dan to judge us nations that we are to inherit in the trials of Christ. We are those who have continued with me in my trials. In his trials, in the death of Christ, we become sapphires. And I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Luke 22:28-30. When prophet Ezekiel saw the glory of the God of Israel and the image of the throne, he also saw the stone sapphire. That also pointed to our calling that is contained in the qualities of the name Dan. And above the firmament, above over their heads, was like the likeness of a throne, in appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the stone was a likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward I saw, as it were, the color of amber with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, the brightness all around. Usually where the place where a king sits is called the throne. And those who present him are his thrones. It's talking about the holy people who can present God's judgment. And so the name of God presented in the precious stone sapphire by the words of the Jewish rabbinate in Hebrew means Ayin, which in translated is the eye of the sun. Sapphire is the name of God, and Ayin is the eye of the sun. And so the name of Dan upon the precious stone, the principle laid in the foundation of continual prayer, that we are to appear before God as a continual memorial, is a function in our right to collaborate with God and the eye of the sun to perform God's judgment. When it's talking about the children of God, the justice of God was that in Jesus Christ, by knowing the truth, they'd be redeemed from sin and sickness and death. John 7:22-24. John speaks the words of Christ. John 7:22-24, Moses therefore gave you circumcision, not that it is from Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses should not be broken, are you angry with me because I made a man completely well on the Sabbath? Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. This person needed to be healed specifically on the Sabbath and not another day. The righteous judgments of God can be done only within the boundaries of the Sabbath and from the position of the Sabbath. That is the Church of Jesus Christ that identifies the interests and boundaries of the kingdom of heaven on earth. And if a person does not have a organic membership to the body of Christ, the circumcision that he received in the baptism of water loses its power and its purpose. Sabbath is the seventh day. You are the sons of the light and sons of day. You're not sons of the darkness. And so when I begin to speak with people that say that there's Seventh-day Adventists or in the likeness of the faith, God calls this day this the name day, and he gave the light day. Then the name of light is day, and we are the light of the world. That Sabbath that they are fulfilling is that they just sit and do nothing else. They are that Sabbath they're supposed to be, and the Sabbath is the day. It's not the night, it's the day. The day is the name of the light. You are the light, and you are the day. If you say that you are followers of God's Sabbath, then you need to be a light of the world, and you need to call yourself the sons of day. And you need to understand that Sabbath is the light and the day, but not what you understand to be the Sabbath. Any celebration or feast of a Jewish feast that was 7 days or longer was celebrated as the Sabbath and was called the Sabbath, although it didn't belong to the seventh day specifically at times, because the seventh day is eternity. It is a fullness of time or wholeness, and the number seven is an identification of God's eternal redemption. The essence of the function of the righteous judgments of God is to command His your Son to rise over the evil and the good and send His reign upon the just and unjust, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His Son rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. Matthew 5:45-48. You see how He, when it's talking about His Son and His reign, just as you and your Son and your reign, we in this sapphire, we have the name of God, the Eye of the Sun. And so as God does it, you need to do it too. You have your Son, and you have your Eye of the Sun, and you have your reign. You need to allow your rain to pour just as God, and allow the sun to shine as God's sun shines. The unchanging principle by which we can judge about our right and our belonging to the nation of God, identifying our legitimacy or the legitimacy of our worship and our abidance within the perfection of our Heavenly Father, is to follow after Christ and gather with Christ. He who is not with me is against me. Matthew 12:30-33. And when he says, who is not with me, meaning with me, with my delegated people. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him either in this age or the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruits. Why people that God sends, He compares to the Holy Spirit. Anyone who will curse them will not receive them as the delegated people of God. This will be a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, because these delegated people can't defend themselves. Just as the Holy Spirit, He does not have in Himself the defense mechanism. God defends Him. Just as God's delegated people, they don't defend themselves. They defend the church. They're sent to do this, and they do defend the church. They pray for her, and by the prayers they defend or protect the church, but not themselves. And Paul says, pray for me. Protect me. In other words, God can protect the person that is sent for the church by the prayers of the church. And the church can be protected by the prayers of the pastor. A very important thing to remember. If a person does not have the perfection of the Heavenly Father, he cannot be a worshiper of God, as he is resistant to Christ and scatters his salvation that he received in the format of a guarantee. And such kind of resistance from man is seen in God's eyes as blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Because His delegated people are presented here as this Holy Spirit is, as they cannot defend themselves. These have the ability to present His perfection, the perfection of His light and His reign, and His God's punishment. Job 37:11-13. Also with moisture He saturates the thick clouds. He scatters His bright clouds, and they swirl about, being turned by His guidance, that they may do whatever He commands them on the face of the whole earth. He causes it to come, whether for correction or for His land or for mercy. The clouds are a symbol of the children of God. There are clouds. There are those clouds that have no water. They're cast to and from. People who always promise something but never give anything. But there are clouds that are filled or saturated with moisture and are directed by the Holy Spirit and are led by the Holy Spirit. But the remainder of remaining clouds, they're carried about by whatever and whomever. And so to present the perfection of our Heavenly Father in worshiping God, and in this way to be with Christ and to gather with Christ, it is necessary for us to collaborate with the name of God, Ayin, that is with the sapphire, which is the Eye of the Sun. Luke 11:34-36, so that we may see what is the eye and what is the sun. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body also is full of light. But when your eye is bad, you probably already understand that this is our conscience. If our conscience does not condemn us in accordance to Scripture or judge us, then our body will be light. Our eye is our conscience that can show the light, and but if it will be bad, then your whole body will be full of darkness. Therefore, take heed that the light which is in you is not darkness, the thummim that is within your conscience. If then your whole body is full of light, having no part dark, the whole body will be full of light as when the bright shining of a lamp gives you light. And so our sons is the sacred person, our new sacred person is our sun. Our renewed mind is our moon. Our eye is our conscience that is cleansed from dead works. And so if our conscience will be cleansed from dead works by the truth that is contained in the teaching of the blood of Christ, then our eye will be full of light. If our conscience, due to our stiff-neckedness towards the truth that is the blood of Christ, then and it will not be cleansed, then our body will be full of darkness. And so having this quality of a worshiper in the precious sapphire with the carved upon it name of Dan means presenting the selective love of God and his perfect justice. Based upon the revelation that is given to Apostle Paul in this precious stone, sapphire, we see the fragrance of Christ as well. 2 Corinthians 2:15-17. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? To be a odor that is blessing and deadly and for life at the same time, for one it is a foul smell or a deadly smell, and for the other it be a fragrant or living smell. For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as sincerity as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:15-17. When we break it to benefit someone, sometimes people, for the benefit of others, break the word of God and then suffer. But it is good that they suffer and can repent. But a person breaks God's commands and does not suffer in his conscience. We see that many of those in churches. Those who suffer are still blessed people. If they suffer, that means they will come to repentance because a conscience is judging them. But a conscience can't judge you for long. It will judge and judge, but it will burn eventually, and you will suffer shipwreck in your faith. You will sin, but you will not experience guilt. Your conscience will become silent if you don't repent. If you peddle with the word of God, you follow after one that God has not sent you, that appeared to you more pleasant for your life. And so, concluding the quality of a worshiper in the function of performing God's justice, the key to fulfilling this is worship, and worship that contains functions of a foul smell for the one and a fragrant smell for the other. And these functions are to be confirmed by the undamaged confessions of the Word of God from the mouth of God's worshiper, or the thummim that is in his heart. And so the absence in a person of the fragrance of Christ talks about the peddling of the word of God in his heart, and such worship cannot be valued by God as worship and will not be received by God as one that flows in spirit and in truth. Considering that our time is pretty much up, we will leave about 10 minutes to pray. We will bend our heads and our knees, whoever's comfortable, how they're comfortable, and we will pray for that truth that we today were able to hear, to learn the quality of a worshiper, how we need to be as worshipers of God, and how our worship needs to be. Amen. Heavenly Father, we worship before your face. in your Son Jesus Christ, and we thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for your word that you have allowed to be placed within our heart, cleansing our conscience by the teaching of the blood of Christ from dead works. And because of the consistency of our heart, you today opened to us this truth, because you prepared your nation. If they would not have had this Thummim, you would not have revealed to them your Urim, which is the quality of a worshiper, the state of a worshiper, and how their prayer need to be, and their offerings that are acceptable to you. You show that your holy people that do not peddle the word with the word in their heart, they can sin, but this sin does not damage your word in their heart, because the conscience begins to judge this person, and he rises and he comes to you. And so when this person condemns himself, you don't judge him, because he has condemned himself or condemned that with sin and repents. And when your people understand this meaning, the devil does not have the opportunity to criticize them and make them weak, that they had sinned and they don't have any other rights before you, and that they had lost their rights. But we know that when we sin, just as Solomon said, we are yours and we accept your power and we will not sin, knowing that we are called to be your own. We can periodically sin, but we will not remain in that position of sin, because we are opposing these things and we are battling with this sin to the end. And we thank you that you have allowed us to be your warriors to confront all kinds of thoughts that are against your truth, and to humble our mind to be obedient to Christ. May your nation be blessed before your face, your nation that has received your truth into their heart, that treasure this word and keep it. May your glory be upon your sons and your daughters, and your healing, your glory and your healing. I believe that the time has come when you will be leading your nation, your people, out, and they'll begin to shine, because they'll be dressed into your resurrection. That is their new person. It shall be dressed into confessions, the confessions of their heart, the confessions of their faith. And you will glorify your inheritance, and you will bring peace to your own heart, and you will express your wrath upon the lawless that supported the unclean. We thank you, Father, that in my heart there's always a wrath towards the lawless, or anger towards the lawless that support your support lawlessness and don't support your righteousness, those who do not want to separate from lawlessness or the lawless. May your nation be blessed before your face. Only you can help and protect her by the blood of your covenant from being defiled that is happening today in your people. People are being defiled because they are befriending the unclean. And when the rays of your light, when they begin to come closer to you, you begin to show your truth, and then the righteous begin to shine, but the lawless cannot stand in the congregation of the righteous, and they will leave it. You cleanse your nation, you prepare her to meet with you upon in the air, upon the clouds. We have loved your appearance, Father. We wait for you. We wait for the movement of your waters, where you will begin to do your work, because you had given your Son and you had paid the price that your children would be able to be healed from all misfortunes, healed and freed from all dependences, from all fears, from economical crisis, from political and economical and natural and cataclysms that may happen. We thank you and we worship before you in your glory. May your greatness be blessed in your mercy towards us, and may you be blessed in your Son, Jesus Christ, now and forever. Our great God, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. I have one request. Dear Pastor, I ask you to receive me as a member of this church, Alexander and Evelina. Please come out so that the church can see you, can become familiar with you, and be able to see you up front. I've spoken with our friends. These are the parents of our brother Slavik, who are here now 6 months. And I think that they have had enough time to listen, and I've talked to them. They have nothing, no hindrance, and they gladly would like to become a member, to be under the same, in the same family. So I will ask everyone to stand and stretch their hands, and we will pray and receive our friends as members. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our holy friends that whose hearts you have prepared to become a part of your army, this to become one united with us. May they be blessed before your face, and we bless them from this place. And may they be before your face faithful, pure. We thank you for them. May your blood be a protection over them now and forever. And we receive them, and we thank you for them, our great God, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We congratulate you. May God bless you. Please greet them, say hello to them. And now we can proclaim our manifestation. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To God, our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.